Now back to Doing Time with Ron Kuby on AirAmerica.com.
Welcome back. You're Doing Time with Ron Kuby. And I'll never forget when I got my first Twitter stream. I really shouldn't forget. It happened just about, like, what, 6, 8 weeks ago? Yeah. I was introduced to this really new cool thing called Twitter, and now we have a Twitter stream, twitter.com/doingtime. And, you know, I tweet and people tweet back at me, and it's all really cool and a lot of fun. And increasingly journalists are using it, and it has increased in popularity and media attention exponentially. I mean, just a couple months ago when I went on Twitter, a whole bunch of people had never heard of it before. I mean, adult, regular people, not just like young people. Honestly, Chris, they'd never heard of it before. And now everybody seems to have heard of it. Well, joining us now is Neil Weiser, who's a blogger who blogs on subjects technological. And you can find him at neilweiser.com. And he has written a piece called Twipocalypse Now, Warnings of a Twitter Bubble. Neil, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. Now, what is Twitter's business model? I mean, that is to say, how do they intend to make money?
Well, if I could answer that question, I'd be a very wealthy man myself. One of the problems with Twitter is that they have not announced that they have a business plan, although in the past week, a couple of the VCs who have invested money have said that, yeah, they really do, but we're not going to tell you what it is. So the jury's still out on how Twitter's actually going to do that.
Well, I think it's a wonderful, I think Twitter is a wonderful thing. It's a service that's provided totally free that I've been using. And for me, that's great. And for all of the other Twitterers out there, it's great. It strikes me as sort of a piss-poor business model for making money, though.
Well, I think really what they're trying to do is they're providing a core service, and they want to allow people to build off of the service. Similar to what Facebook did over the past year when they opened up their API, which is an interface, a way for programmers to tap into that base. Twitter did that, and as a result, you've seen hundreds upon hundreds of third-party services emerge that are providing a wide variety of services that truly expand Twitter's model.
Right, like Twitter storage and other tweet cakes and things like that, or what are they called?
Yeah.
Help me with this.
Okay. All sorts of tools. I mean, some of the more popular ones are search tools. Twitter actually had acquired a search company and added that to their system. But tools like TweetLater, which is a tool that allows you to schedule your tweets. So, for example, I'm actually heading out to England later on this evening, and I'm scheduling some tweets to go on while I'm away. Some other service which tells you, a lot of services have popped up to tell you your tweeting statistics, which gives you a sense of what you're doing online, gives you the ability to sort of take a look at and analyze when you're out there and when people are responding, how people are passing along, which is called retweeting. It's basically the same as forwarding an email, how people are passing along things that you're tweeting. A wide variety of tools. It's amazing the variety of tools that people are putting out.
Okay,
there.
So what's the problem? What's the twipocalypse?
Well, that's a little bit of a play on words. I think it's not too
No, I know serious. It is, but it's so clever I keep repeating it.
Well, basically, what I've noticed is that it's a bubble that's forming around Twitter, and this is not uncommon. We had the same thing happen last year with Facebook, all these companies jumping in to add Facebook applications and extend Facebook, and these companies were getting tremendous amounts of investment, but they had no business model. They weren't going to make any money. Twitter's in a similar type of a situation. They've got hundreds of companies and people who are adding tremendous value to the service by providing these additional services. But most of them have no business model. Now, for some of them, that's okay. A lot of these people are really just providing these things because, like me, they love Twitter, and they just wanted to be able to use it in a way that they find most useful. The problem is that as the economy, unfortunately, continues to worsen, many of these people, and as Twitter's popularity is exploding, I mean, they've got in excess of 6 million users now, and as more and more people are jumping on the bandwagon, so to speak, Twitter is going to become more and more burdened, and the ability for these smaller, many of them are one-man operations, for them to keep up with all that flow is going to become very difficult for them. And as a consequence, many of them are going to wind up going under, I'm afraid.
Okay, and that's sad. It's always sad when somebody goes under, but if you're you know, investing money in a company that has no business model, that's based upon linkage to another company with no business model, I mean, just like how sorry can we feel for these people?
Well, you know,
or should feel for these people.
Well, definitely. I mean, like me, I'm a user of many of these services, and I'll be very sad if some of them go away. I think some of them are very useful. Now, Twitter itself, even though they don't have a business model, they've actually raised a significant amount of money. I think the total has been, over the life of the company, has been somewhere around $50 million, but they recently just closed another $35 million just about 2 months ago. So they've got plenty of money in the bank, and they're a small operation right now. I think what they could do actually is set up a program and reach out to some of these third-party developers and lend them a hand, pick up some of the bandwidth, or allow them to host their services on Twitter service themselves, anything that will keep that service running, because what's going to happen is when the value of a network is proportional to the number of people who use it. It's the old telephone analogy. When you had one telephone, no value there. When you had two telephones, it's now twice as valuable because two people could connect. Same way with Twitter. When you've got all these additional tools adding what you can do and how you can do it on Twitter, that creates a lot more value. If they start going away, it's going to be a sad day indeed.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, for me, a sad day is 621,000 jobs being lost. I would be sad if Twitter went away, but I guess I'm just sort of, it's been so new to all of us, I don't know that its departure would break many hearts. And this is private investment capital. It's not as though people have what's left of their 401ks invested in it, right?
Well, that's true, but I think there are two things. First of all, with 600,000 people losing their jobs, that's not sad. That's a catastrophe.
Okay. I think the Holocaust is a catastrophe, but we can argue about scale of horror, right?
Right. But I do concede your point. I mean, for those who don't use it, if it were to go away tomorrow, they'd be like, so what? But Twitter, it's really finally starting to emerge. It's adding tremendous value. It's what's part of what's called the live web, or microblogging. But I prefer the live web because what it's doing is it's allowing you to pick up on what's going on all over the world instantaneously.
And Neil Weiser, speaking of picking up on what's going on, you hear that music?
I heard it.
You know what that means?
Tell me.
Yeah, it means we got to go.
Oh, that's it? We're done?
We are, but thank you so much for being with us. Fascinating conversation, and hope to have you back again sometime real soon. That was Neil Weiser, and you can reach him at neilweiser.com. He is a blogger on technology and related issues, and when we come back, we'll have a little science and religion roundup.